Who will stand against our King? No one can, no one will. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus, victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 oh,
hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to a wonderful day. Yep, you know I was gonna say that, right? Because every day is a good day. Okay, so every day, oh, but you don't know what happened to me yesterday. Every day remains a good day. All right, our experiences do not define our days, our encounters, our whatever it is. All right, they don't define the day. The day is how you name it. You name the day, you declare the day. All right, you say what God is saying. Oh, but some horrible things happened to me. And they are working together for your good. Is that all right? They might be bad. They might be horrible. I didn't say God sent them. I didn't say God sent them. I'm saying they will work together for your good. You know, life throws you what they call a curved ball. It will work out fine. All right? It will work out fine. No temptation, you know, Corinthians tells us, is coming to you, and the temptation there means test or trial. No challenge, no difficulty comes to you that is not common to man. Whatever is happening to you is happening right now to so many other people, has happened to someone before. So no temptation comes to you that is not common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. All right, no temptation comes to you that is not common to man, but God makes a way of escape for it is the end of the point. But Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted above what you can handle. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you can handle, and he will make a way of escape for you. He will make a way of escape for you. There is no challenge, no situation, nothing ugly that comes to you that is not common to man. Very many times the enemy wants us to isolate what's happening. It's only me. Nobody understands me. It's only me. Nobody understands me. And it chokes us up in that corner. Nobody gets me. It's just me, me, me. Mm-mm. Scripture says 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, all right, comes to you or overtakes you now, all right, that is not common to man. It is common, all right? This is the word of God. Number one. Number two, he now says God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. All right? He won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. Number three, with this same temptation, God will make a way of escape for you so that you can bear it. He will make a way. Now, there are temptations, and please note again the word temptation here in King James means test or trial. All right, like James chapter 1 that says, count it all joy when you walk, fall into diverse temptations. It is tests, trials. All right. So the Bible lets us know, you know, that these tests or these trials, when they come, now they are self-inflicted trials. Okay, they are things we do, we create, we curse. All right. That's us, okay? But God is saying nothing comes to you, all right? You can create something you couldn't handle. But even when that happens, you know, Bible says in James 1 still that God will give wisdom liberally. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? So every day is a good day, all right? Every day, every day is a wonderful day, all right? So allow me to leave you in the hands of Tom Dunaway for a few minutes. All right, worship you forever. I will worship. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. I will worship you, all right? Worship You Forever by Todd Donnelly. Beautiful, beautiful song, all right? So let's jump in. So yesterday we began, all right, our series for the week, The Power of Meditation, but we're still actually looking into the importance, all right, and understanding meditation. So we said yesterday that meditation is God's idea. We find it throughout scripture, and you're going to see that you can find it in Genesis also, into the epistles, all right? It's now maybe not that meditation was written on it, all right? But when Bible tells you, guard your heart, guard your thoughts, listen, that's your thinking, all right? All right, that's your meditation, that's your core. And when you put all that together, it's like, oh my goodness, God's word is filled with this, it's filled with this, all right? So it's God's, but I mean, yesterday we gave a clear example about Abraham, the stars, the sand, and then the change of his name. The stars, the sand, the change of his name. Abraham comes out during the day, sees the sand, comes out during the night, sees the stars. And finally, God changed his name. God was changing his thought pattern, thought process, imagination, and whatever he visualized, God was changing these things, okay? And that's basically, all right, meditation. So we said again also that meditation, by definition, all right, clearly is to ponder and to mutter, to ponder, to think deeply about something, to think deeply on something, to ponder, to give it thoughts, deep thoughts, all right? You ponder and then you mutter, you speak it to yourself, you say it again, you know, like soliloquizing, you know, you say it to yourself, you speak to yourself, you speak to yourself. So it's both of them, not one of them, it's both of them. So you find Joshua telling us that this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate therein. All right, started by saying you're gonna say this thing, okay? But child, beyond saying it, you have to think deeply, you have to meditate day and night. And how important will it be? God is asking Joshua after he resumed leadership, all right, you know after Moses's death. And then God says, one thing you need to learn on this journey, you've got to meditate. That means sincerely, meditation is a key to success. Meditation is a core key to yourself. I mean, to success. Let me jump way ahead of myself. You say, why? Because Proverbs chapter 4, which also really, you know, from verse 20 to 23 is teaching the basic principles of meditation. But the 23rd verse says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart will flow the forces of life. You know, very many times we're trying to protect ourselves on the outside, you know, the external, or are the doors locked, you know, are the is the gate locked, is the security light on, you know, is the electric fence, is it turned on, you know, well, usually not turned off, you know. So I mean, you want to cross check, is this okay, but don't forget Psalm 127, except the Lord watch over the city, right? The watchman watch in vain. He didn't say there shouldn't be watchmen, he just said except the Lord. That means we could do all these natural things of a soup. You know that there have been houses broken into that had all the, you know, security gadgets in place, all right? So you get the point. There's no point, you know, belaboring that. So it's just obvious. So very many times also you could watch what you eat. You know, you're on a dietary plan. You're checking this and checking that. But you're not checking your thoughts. You're not checking your heart. And very many times we miss these things, all right? Jesus said you could clean the outside of a cup, and then the inside is still quite pretty much dirty. So what's happening on the inside is key. So Bible says, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Out of your heart flows the forces of life, okay? Out of it. So you need to find out what's happening in your heart. And one major thing to do is to be sure you're putting in the right thing into your heart and keeping away the wrong things from your heart. I'll say that again. Put the right things into your heart, keep the wrong things from your heart. We're going to learn that well in this series, all right? So you guard your heart. Now, meditation and imagination. What about it? Meditation. So are you saying if I'm imagining, I am meditating, I would say to a good extent, yes, big yes, because in the place of meditation, you are actually imagining. Right, it builds. When you think deeply about something, it builds pictures. But meditation is not mere imagination. All right, so I tell you right now, so close your eyes. All right, close your eyes. Close your eyes? Yep, so close your eyes. So we've picked you at home right now. You're headed to the airport. Yes, that. Mm-hmm. Imagination, your restriction of movement or self-isolation cannot disturb imagination. That's why it's imagination. All right, so I mean, okay, so let's tighten it up. So you have like bodyguards and police escorts, you know, they came to pick you, so nobody can stop you. All right, I'm gonna drive you straight to the airport. Are you in the car? You're there. Good. You're there. Good. So you're there. All right, so it's a very fast movement. So you're at the airport already. I mean, and then this solid looking, you know, corporately dressed, you know, young men, young women just waiting to welcome you, receive you, pick your luggage. And then they just lead you straight to the private lounge at the airport. You know, you sit for a few minutes, you sip. What do you like to sip? All right, so fix it in. Okay, so and then they lead you to a jet and then he flies you. Where do you want to go? Okay, so imagine takes off. Okay, in the next like 5 minutes after takeoff, they begin to offer you, what do you want to eat? Now, you know, could do that and then you end up wherever you want to end up and you just smile. You're loving it. You're just loving it. And then you wake up and then or you get back and you're still wherever you are. Imagination. All right. Some people talk about wishful thinking. I know. But meditation pulls that power, actually. It pulls it. It uses it because it's inside meditation. All right. So meditation peaks the will, picks the thought, picks the word, and choose on it. Don't forget, God told Abraham, all right, your children will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Okay. I don't have to picture too much of that. I'm seeing the stars at night. My children are as numerous as the stars. My children are as numerous as the stars. My children are as numerous as the stars. My children as numerous as the stars, my children. I mean, he's seeing it. So the biggest one that God did for him is to ensure the change of name. It's the, and then every day he's hearing Abraham. Words create pictures. Words create pictures. If I tell you, for instance, so there's a blue what? Maybe you use black. All right. So there's a black Mercedes-Benz E what? S what? It's easier if you know it. You can picture it. But I describe something. Okay. I say, pick the blue dress. Pick the purple shoe. You don't see purple. P-U-R-P-L-E. You see purple, the color. Words create pictures. Words create images. So meditation works with imagination. Imagination is in meditation. It doesn't mean start faking, as it were, forcing. No. The more the word is filling up your heart, words create pictures. You know, I was saying yesterday that Proverbs 4 says that the word should not depart from your eyes. So how's it going to happen? All right? So are you going to have to pick God's word and then be reading the Bible while you're right there on the road, and then you're reading the Bible when you're trying to eat, and you're reading the Bible, you know, it's always in front of you. Someone says, what are you doing? The Bible says the word should not depart out of my eyes. It's because the word should not depart from your pictures, your imagination. So yes, you've stopped reading the Bible. You've moved away from where your Bible is. But the picture of the word, the thinking of the word doesn't depart from you, does not leave you. It doesn't leave you. So you are away from your Bible, but you are not away from the picture, from the word. All right, blessed man that walks in the counsel of godly, stands away from sin and sin and sin. Let's go. As you're saying it, you're picturing the man. Doesn't have to be 3D, you know, well animated. It's words just create pictures. They give you a mental thought. That's why someone who's been sick for so long, you know, starts having pictures of death. All right? Maybe I'll die. Maybe I'll make it. Maybe I'll survive. Maybe I'll die. Over. And sometimes they start seeing themselves in coffins. You know, the burial ceremony is going on. People are crying. They see. And then the same person starts injecting words of life, words of health and healing, words of life. Well, the pictures begin to change. Those inner, the person's not sitting there saying, I want to imagine myself well. I want to imagine myself well. Because at the end of the day, imagination, while it works, because I mean, some have just learned how to do this and they are not born again. Okay, so that's why the principle, you know, of using a picture, looking at a picture, look at it till it comes to pass works. Because what they are doing is using the key of meditation. Influence your heart with the picture, and then your heart produces a picture back to you. So we deal with this a lot. You'll notice that it involves it. So I'm trying to explain, but there's the just canal, you know, imagination. I'm imagining. No, but there's the deliberate intentional picturing. And the best form of it, which is what we're teaching, is using God's word. All right. Using the scriptures to paint these pictures. All right. I'm the seed of Abraham. I am 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 the seed of Abraham. Everything I do is blessed. I am the seed of Abraham. Everything I do is blessed. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. Abraham prospered in famine. Isaac prospered in famine. Joseph prospered in famine. I prosper in famine. I prosper. I mean, I'm the seed of Abraham. 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 Right, Abraham went to Egypt when there was famine. He still prospered. Isaac was going to go to Egypt, but God said, stay in Gerar. He prospered. All right, there was going to be famine in Egypt, and God had given Pharaoh the dream. You know the story, and Joseph interpreted it. Joseph was elevated. So when there was famine, Joseph was good. So we see three cases of famine. So there is lack, but I'm good. There is lack around, but I'm good. Darkness covers the earth, but I shine as light. As you say it, it forms pictures. It forms pictures. It forms pictures. You're not just now sitting there like, I wish I could take ice cream. Ice cream. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, ice cream. You know, so it's not that kind of just wishful thinking. But someone else could pick that and draw meditative power from it. Listen, in Genesis 11, all right, that's a story, you know, the Tower of the Babel. Tower of Babel, you know, we find there the power of imagination. So they made up their minds, they were going to build a city and a tower whose top reached up to the heavens. All right. And then verse four, let's pick four. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Verse five. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now, not every version puts it this way, but King James says, the Lord came to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. All right, that means they were building. Verse 6 now says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin. So not like they had actually gone too far, but this they begin from verse 6, showing us this, they begin to do. The end of verse 6 says, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So they had set their imagination. So you find that scripture talks about the imagination of men, the heart of men having wicked imaginations. So you can devise a thing. All right. And by thinking it, the imagination forces you to action. All right. So there's a way it fills you up to action. So there's a power in it. So I'm saying this force of imagination lies in the force also of meditation. When you learn to allow the verse to just stay in your heart, stay in your mind, stay in your heart, stay in your mind, it's forming something incredibly awesome. All right, so but we'll deal with that. We still have about four days in this, you know, wonderful episode. So meditation versus confession. Meditation and confession. All right. There's that question has always existed, you know. You know, okay, so what's meditation? What's confession? And then this the thing is, most of us charismatics, we have the culture of You know, I have daily confessions. I have what I say every day. You know, I say, oh, but why did that thing happen to that sister? She's always meditating. Why? I mean, she's always confessing. I mean, she wakes up, she has 3 pages of confession. You know, why that thing happened to that brother? I mean, he's always confessing God's word. He's always confessing God's word. Yes, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, the confession that we do, all right, that most of us do is not enough. And I'm going to explain. I don't mean, oh, so do more. All right? But it's not enough in that it usually lacks the depth it should carry. What I mean is this. Meditation involves the heart and the mouth. So most times, if we're not as observant, you realize that the confessions are most times just the mouth. A lot of times the mouth, not the heart. You know, I can say, I'm the head and not the tail. I have a great day. Things are working for me today. I'm covered. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. I mean, okay, so I'm sure a lot of believers have been using Psalm 91 before this whole pandemic issue. But if you check the reactions of most Christians, it will be obvious to you that those confessions were never meditations. Never, ever meditations. All right? So that's a very simple example. All right? So because it's easy to say something. So then we say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, I do not lack, thing, you know. And then I say it. If you're not careful, it's just mental agreement. What meditation does is it takes your confession to the next level. Because confession is embedded in meditation. The same way I said imagination is embedded in meditation. Don't forget, meditation is the heart and the mouth. You think, you speak, you picture, you ponder, you speak, you think, you speak. You're not just speaking. So I could say 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It doesn't come near me. And the same person who just said 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. You know, you aren't with me or in me to know the difference, but I'll explain. One, I said it and I was thinking on each word as it came out of my mouth. The other, I just said it. I say it like we say confession. All right, so say after me. No, as you're saying after the person, be thinking on each word as it comes out of my mouth. I am blessed. I am blessed. All things work together for you're listening to your words. You're holding on to your words. You believe your own words. So the confession is great, but confession, you know, you have to learn that your confessions change you first. Because the more you hear yourself, the renewal of your own mind is going on, which happens also in meditation. So most times we feel, but I'm confessing, things are not changing. No, something is changing, but it's usually not the situation that changes first. It is you. You change first. So imagine if you are now more intentional about your meditation, you will change faster. Because meditation, Bible says day and night, not morning and night, day and night, which means during the day, during the night, I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm blessed, or I have eternal life. I mean, whatever it is you want to say. And then I'm not saying, I have eternal life. Yes, I know you could say it, and it sinks in, but you could say, and it doesn't sink in because you're not allowing your thoughts to also be engaged with the words you're speaking. Even in the law of faith, faith has to be in two places, your heart and your mouth. You have to say. All right, Mark 11:23 says, whoever will say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart. All right, but believe that whatever he says will come pass, will have what he says, so heart to mouth. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:14, we have in the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we believe, so we speak. All right, Romans 10:9-10, with the heart you believe, with the mouth you speak. So the issue is we're trying to speak, but our hearts are not loaded yet. So we're pulling the trigger of the gun. Oh, but I'm confessing. Pow, pow, pow. I'm confessing. But you forgot to load the bullets. So meditation fills up your heart. And then don't forget what Jesus said in Matthew. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So many of us are trying to speak with heart not being abundant or not having that revelation in abundance. So if there is time, and there is time for most things we're dealing with, you could meditate. And I'll still teach this thing. Like I said, it's just the second day. I'll teach it, all right? There's a Ken Hagin story of how that he needed to pray about his daughter's health, and he spent 3 days meditating. By the third day, there was no need to pray. He said he knew she was fine because he filled his heart. And let me quickly mention that meditation versus prayer. I said that before, I'll keep saying it. Many times we pray, and then you find the same people praying, panicking. You find the same people praying, worrying. It just shows that, listen, maybe you stop the prayer. Meditate. Feel your heart. A scared prayer has no account. You feel your heart. You load up your heart. Because it's if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will. So many of us are asking, but we're not solid. Our hearts are not established. Okay? Meditation and memorization. Oh, but I memorize the word of God. I memorize. Yes, it could basically just be a mental exercise. Meditation is intentional. It's not just I'm trying to know the verse. So my memory verse for today is, you know, and then you store it up. Oh, so I know it. I know it now. Yes, you were trying to just be academic or be mental about it. Meditation picks that same verse and choose on it. Brings it back up again. Choose on it. So meditation isn't memorization. In the place of meditation, you might memorize and eventually you would memorize. You would know the verse. But it isn't memorization. Meditation isn't just confession. It goes deeper. And the truth is, if we all learn to meditate more, our declarations, what we call confessions, our spoken word, when you speak to the situation, it will be sharper. It will be stronger because you're learning. You're learning, you know, to meditate on the word. You're learning. All right. So meditation versus confession, meditation and imagination. Imagination is embedded a lot in meditation, meditation and confession, meditation, prayer, meditation, you know, memorization, meditation and worry. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Okay, if you know how to worry, take no thought in. Oh, what are we going to eat? Not, so what are we eating this afternoon so I can go to the kitchen and fix it? No, oh, what are we going to eat? Money has gone. This one that lockdown is extended. How will we survive? Oh, you're meditating. Oh, but what do I do? I'm gonna eat. Okay, so he said he will supply all our needs according to riches and glory. He will supply. He will supply. Calm down. He will supply. He will supply. He said he will. Calm down. He will. You are dealing with your mind that irrespective of how you feel right there, meditate on the word. All right? Meditate. So we're on it till Saturday. So we build day after day. Have a very, 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 very beautiful day. See you tomorrow. Bye. We never